Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
You have now arrived at Stadium and Gale.
Ladies and gents, welcome to another episode of Stadium and Gale. It's your favorite Uncle Silk.
It's Dan.
And Della Torre catching a little raspy in that voice after a bender.
I'll tell you, it was another bender weekend in the Bahamas. I just had to clear my throat a little bit. We're back at it. Just jumped straight off the plane. Gosh, about 2 hours ago, got over here, grabbed some dinner, ready to pod. We had a fantastic conversation today. Wish everybody on the other side of the microphone could know what you were saying, Nick. But
Corey, I feel like Dan, with that background, with that jacket, he says stepped off the plane like he wants us to think that it was like frontier economy. Right. It looks like a wheels up guy.
I will say this. Teddy Bridgewater was sitting right behind me.
I thought you led with something else, another T word. You said Teddy Bridgewater was on the flight?
Teddy Bridgewater, Miami Dolphin legend.
You and Teddy were sharing the private jet?
Yeah.
Made more financial sense.
That's right.
Ubered a jet.
Yeah, he's about to be a free agent, you know, so I picked him up. He had kindness in my heart. No, Teddy Bridgewater from your neck of the woods. Wish we could have seen Teddy Two Gloves have more success with the Dolphins.
Woods. Like, not my neck. I'm a Palm Beach guy. You guys' neck of the woods is
long. Where did he go?
He's Miami Northwestern, I believe.
Oh, he went to – oh, never mind. I had the counties flipped. Yeah. You're right. Anyway, Teddy Bridgewater was there. But, Nick, you pointed out an important background. It is Gasparilla week here in Tampa. I'll be honest with you. We're going to go back-to-back weekends, boys.
Oh, man.
He's back.
This is vintage Dan right here, man.
Back at it again.
And listen, we'll find something to celebrate February 1st weekend. So there'll be something going on the following weekend.
You got to keep the bender going, man. How was – you went to go see my kinfolk in Bahamas this weekend.
I did.
You still got your dapper jacket on. How was the dapper weekend for Dapper Dan, man? What the vibe?
Yeah, no, I had to put on a jacket actually when I got back to Tampa here. It's cold. It was good, man. We stayed at the Baja Mar.
Oh, it's cold up here?
Yeah, it's like in the low 60s right now. I know for you guys that aren't in Florida, you're like, oh, wow, it's really not cold. It's cold and windy here. Yeah. But at the Baja Mar, which is a beautiful spot. I mean, it's not my favorite place. I got the opportunity to go. It's the company that I work for. It's our President's Club trip. Got to go a few years ago, but it's a fantastic spot. If you're looking for a place that has, I mean, they have a really cool water park. They have a big casino. They have a couple cigar bars. I think they have 40 different restaurants. It is great. It's great times. The weather was perfect, but I think 4 days, I'm not sure about you guys. I feel like 4 days in one place, it's kind of a resort that you don't really leave, is about the maximum amount of time I want to spend somewhere before I'm planning a
7 day vacation right now. It's right around. It's gonna be a whole family shindig with family reunion vibes with me, my family, and my brother's family and mom's immediate family type joint. But we trying to do like a week, man.
Yep. Yeah. Where are you going? To the Bahamas?
I don't want to do the Bahamas. I want to go somewhere I haven't been. Of course, the rest of the family want to do the Bahamas. And that'd be dope because I got family there that we can all go and see and just vibe with a little bit. Mm-hmm. But I want to do, maybe Turks and Caicos, Barbados or something like that. West Indies, but I'm not sure what. We'll see how it all pans out.
Yeah, Brooke and her mom are going to the Dominican Republic next month for her mom's birthday. So I'll let you know how Punta Cana is. But drop some recommendations in the chat. If you have any recommendations for Silk,
I highly recommend America as well, like Costa Rica, like that type. But I don't know what the vibes is in Central America, like what's good and what's safe these days.
Yeah, not much.
You know what I'm saying? But they got some good vacation spots and some nice scenery over there, Nick. I know things get crazy, but
I've heard some great things about Costa Rica.
Right. Costa Rica, I've heard, is beautiful.
Belize.
Belize, I heard a lot, and they speak English over there. It's their primary language. St. Lucia from Matt, which obviously isn't in South America, but in the Caribbean there for you. That's a good one. But I've heard some good things about Panama, too.
Right.
You know, not
I feel like the risk of ending up in the back of a van might outweigh.
Yeah, that's what I didn't want to do. Shout out to my man Brandon Hicks. Brandon Hicks gave me a story like last year of some crazy shit that happened in Mexico. And I told my brother, I was like, bro, we can't just go with a vacation and just bullshitting. Like, I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, you're good.
See, that's why I don't like podcasting on Stadium Miguel at night. I get a little too loose. Man.
Yeah, you know what?
We need Stadium Miguel after dark.
We'll throw the E on Apple Podcasts.
We're going to get into like football stuff, but we like to talk, like catch up on our lives a little bit. Sorry for the people that don't like this stuff. Fast forward.
Yeah.
But real quick, I was telling my brother, Brandon Hicks gave me a story about like this wild altercation that happened with him in Mexico. And how you just got to be safe over there, even if it was the police, like they're shady as well, man. Mm-hmm. So I was telling my brother as we was booking and planning this trip, I'm like, hey, man, I don't know, man. We may just want to stick with the West Indies, people that have relationships with the states for right now, because the world's in a wild place.
Yeah, I've been to in Mexico. I've been to Cabo, I've been to Cancun, I've been to Playa del Carmen. I'm not really into a lot of shenanigans there. But the problem is once you get a little bit outside of where those resorts are and everything else, you're right in the thick of it. So it's one of those places that you probably just want to make sure that you're in a place that you know and you're safe. St. Lucia, I've heard great things about St. John's. I went to Aruba a couple years ago. That's a ton of fun. Nice. As long as you don't get involved with I'll keep her name out of it. It's been a while.
her name. Shout out to her.
I like to
go amongst the locals when I do go like on vacations and stuff. So I want to feel comfortable with hanging out with the locals. I don't want to be at resorts. So I want to go somewhere where I can hang out with the locals and not be stuck at a Sandals.
I'll say this.
You mean Michael Scott and Jan Levinson had a wonderful week.
Oh man, they sure
at Sandals Jamaica.
I want to do Sandals, but I don't want to be stuck at the Sandals the entire time. Like, I don't want to be in Mexico, America.
Yeah. And I mean, if you go to Cancun, that's what it is. You go to Cabo, for the most part, that's kind of what it is. No, I'll say this. I mean, that's
the culture, man.
That's the one thing about the Bahamas, unfortunately. And then we'll get into the show. That's the one thing about the Baja Mar. You don't really want to go, and this is probably the same for Atlantis. I've never been there, but they're not that far away from each other. Is you don't want to get too far because there's just not much to do. And all of the restaurants that are there that aren't on the hotel know that you're just there to get off of the hotel property. So they don't really have a lot of culture, cultural aspects of it. But that's the hardest part to me is you're in a foreign country and yes, you're going to interact with the coworkers and everything else, but it's so geared towards tourism that it's sometimes hard to forget that or hard to remember that you are in a, foreign country. Like to get out amongst the locals myself as well. But, man, wherever you go, I know that you're going to have a blast. Nick, you have a good weekend. Anything you want to write home about?
Good weekend. We have a travel agent that's doing playing the honeymoon for us in Italy, Croatia, and
you going for yacht week?
That's on my little trip, bro.
No. We're doing well. It's honeymoon, so that's
big boy.
My
you doing
fiance,
a week? Are you doing like a few days? Like,
ooh, buddy, we're 13 days. We got PTO. PTO's requested 13 days.
I'm gonna get my inside of heat from, bro. If you're for 13 days.
Stadium Miguel HR has not yet received a request.
I got no PTO time off.
We'll see you every Monday on your vacation.
I think Monday from the Coliseum. That's right. In Rome.
Maybe just bring the Pope on, you know?
Yeah. I'll make a phone call.
Shout out to my man AD. We got a fan in Italy, man.
We do. Yeah.
Yeah. Shout out to my guy AD.
AD, if you see this, hit me up. Me and my fiance will be there. She'll love that I'm doing work.
He's gonna hit you up too. You said that shit, but he's gonna
be in the DM. For sure. But my fiance, like, real quick, like, looked at what the travel agent had planned. She's like, hey, we can save $3,000, like, use this $3,000 by not driving from St. Augustine to Miami to fly out, but flying out from Jacksonville.
Right.
Flying back to America from Croatia was ridiculous. So I think we're going to do like a day in Ireland, like fly from Croatia to Ireland and then Ireland back in. It just made more sense. And then I got to go see Guinness. And shout out to Guinness.
No, no, no. We are not shouting
out. No shout outs to Guinness.
Are
my
you
bad.
Going there on behalf of Ben Chase?
I will. I'm going there with a pitchfork and a torch. Being like, what do you mean? He can't drive on public roads to break a record. Get out of here.
Florida man gets arrested protesting friend not receiving Guinness World Record. We're actually going to talk to Ben Chase a little bit later today. But boys, we got a lot to get into. A lot of stuff that happened today made this show a little bit easier to kind of get through. But as always, let's shout out our friend Alan Horn with State Farm Insurance. If you are in Florida, Georgia, Tennessee, or Alabama, give him a call, 706-692-2888. Again, 706-692-2888. If you're looking for auto, home, renters, life, business, whatever type of insurance you may want. And as always, we encourage you to shop around insurance rates, 706-692-2888 or allenhorninsurance.com. Gentlemen, the Gators did receive two transfer commits today. We can talk about those, but I think the more pressing matter that we want to talk to before we get Ben on the phone is, obviously, over the last couple of weeks, we've seen the culmination of the Jaden Rashada saga come to an end, at least with the University of Florida's involvement. Now, over the last few weeks, there's been a lot of rumors, been a lot of speculation, some fact, a lot of not fact that has been out there. Somehow John Ruiz entered my mentions on Friday. Fortunately, I was a couple of Mai Tais deep, Nick.
I knew where you were. So we were ready to go. I was going to send you like a sly like text, like, hey, man, it's your birthday.
No,
you're popping champagne. Have a good night. Don't
do this. This trolling don't stop because you just soaking up Bahamian vibes, dog. You still gotta get these trolls.
I think the Wi-Fi doesn't work in the Bahamas.
I thought there was champagne, humidity, and good vibes, and instead it was back and forth with John. I'm like, God, Dan, you know, I think we're too many Mai Tais deep to be doing this tonight.
I like that it was Mai Tais though. Like, I like our Dan vibe. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's how we connect on the vibes, bro. Like, Mai Tais is my joint, man. And you also, you put me on to, why am I forgetting the drink right now? Like, the Kush is big a little bit before we started. Mm. The whiskey drink. Old fashioned.
Yeah,
reason why I drink like old fashions every time I go somewhere, man. So, like, me and Dan vibe on stuff. Like, shout out to the Mai Tai, man.
Old fashioned's
the way to go.
Old fashioned. Nick will tell you before I even knew who you were. So, I'd been on the old fashioned game. Old fashions are part of my heritage over here. I think I'm 10, 12, 13 years into these culture. Things. You know, you guys know me. I'm
y'all pass my, liquor down.
Yeah. My background is white. You know, there's just not a lot of colors back there. So we have to find ways to find culture. We find them in old fashions. Ben Chase is waiting in the lobby cracking up, but we have a conversation, Ben. It's funny that you mentioned her name. Ben, we want to get a phone. I heard we were going to chat with you soon, but Corey Silk, Corey and Nick, want to get your thoughts on just what's happened over the last couple of weeks with some of the news that's come out. Nick, I know that you've been working on a new story that's going to come out tomorrow. I know that you've been working on having a lot of conversations with folks that are in and around and not just the ones that are the most connected, but even some tangentially connected people as well. So Nick, I don't know if you want to go into a little bit of that before we move on.
Yeah. A lot of my friends will know that, like, I don't really like, I'm not one to like pick up the phone and call. I've spent so many hours on the phone, these last 2 weeks. And, it's just like, every time you'd find something out, there's just like another layer, another onion. And I think the biggest, at least in my mind, there's no winners in this Jaden Rashada situation. College football circles are small, NIL circles or even smaller. And if you think for a second that a Lane Kiffin or a coach at Oklahoma or Minnesota isn't going to say, are you sure you want to go to Florida? Didn't you see this situation where they overpromised and delivered? I don't think it's an issue with anyone on campus. I don't think there's a single athlete at Florida that's done a deal with the Gator Collective that will have a bad thing to say about them. We walk up to, I remember joking with this about with another writer. We walk up to the new practice, the new Hebner complex. And I'm like, man, these cars seem a little different here. There's a bunch of Teslas in here. I see some Trackhawks. That's a Mercedes. I'm like, NIL, these guys are living good on NIL right now. So, but I think the other loser in the situation is a 19-year-old kid in high school who worked his ass off to graduate high school early, which a lot of kids do now. He's a quarterback. Most schools don't take two quarterbacks. It's not a running back. You'll take two in a class or four wide receivers in a class. He had his whole life planned out. I'm going to go to Florida. I'm going to play 3 years, go to the NFL. Now he's still looking for a new place to go and to go and play. And I think the adults around him, the adults in his camp, did him a huge disservice. And it should have been better communicated to him once the contract was terminated that, hey, we need to – this is what it is. That money isn't there. We can renegotiate for a different sum, or we can try to go somewhere else and find a new deal. And instead, he was just continually told, it's going to get worked out. It's going to get worked out. It's going to get worked out. And it worked itself out into a gigantic public fiasco that we saw play out, you know, publicly for 2 weeks. But this has been going back 2 months since at least December 1st.
Nick, I want to get your thoughts there. And, you know, I put out a tweet that got some people involved. Actually, this is the tweet that somehow got John Ruiz on my timeline. Not sure if he stalks my timeline. You would think you'd have something better to do with that kind of money. But anyway, long story short, one of the things that I tweeted was, it's, I think the hardest part for me is it's very sad and disappointing, you know, to obviously Jaden Rashada. It's sad and disappointing to the University of Florida, the coaching, you know, those that were involved in recruiting, you know, that it doesn't work out, right? I mean, this isn't just whoever has the largest sum of money is going to get you. There's relationships. There's a lot that goes into it. But I think for me, you know, Nick, and maybe you're going to touch on it in your article tomorrow. One of the things that I think is most frustrating is how many legal professionals have been involved. And I'm not going to name names, but I think if you were to just think of the periphery players involved at this, I think that you could easily come up with four or five attorney players that have been at least tangentially involved that I seem to think kind of shudder a lot of the blame away from them. It kind of gets pushed onto other people. Yeah, you blame the kid, you blame the Gator Collective, you blame, you know, individual people. There's a lot of attorneys that were involved. There's a lot of people that were involved in making sure that contracts are understood, the ramifications of those contracts as well, that I don't think have gotten their due responsibility load share in this. And I think that to me is a kind of a disappointing process as well, because obviously they're the ones that know a lot more of the story. They try to shelter themselves, they try to protect themselves, and try to push the blame onto a lot of other people when, you know, you probably have a combined 80, 90, maybe 100 plus years of legal attorney work in these individuals' backgrounds that somehow fail to manage a lot of things from a legal perspective. So that's me stepping off my soapbox for hopefully the last time here.
I think we need to, like, for like the average fan that really don't know like what's going on, right? I just want to like slow it down and kind of like play it out, like how it all went down. Any negotiations, because we weren't there, or how I'm reading it played out. And Nick has an article that he's dropping tomorrow, ready for that heat. You know, it's just streets are gonna go crazy, man. I know they're gonna be ready for it. But this is how I see it went down. Then I'll give you my father perspective of it, you know, because how it was handled, you know what I'm saying? And also my football fan shit. But the way I see it, man, there was a deal agreed upon. He flipped to the University of Florida, right? He's committed. The flip happened. A deal was agreed upon. That deal, whatever was agreed upon, was sent to the Gator Collective to facilitate. in the negotiations of it, in my mind, and what I'm reading, stuff, the information, everybody's writing articles. So I think, was it Shane Matthews that came out and did something on a radio show as well? I thought he spoke well on the whole thing. But the Gator Collective was facilitating a deal, which they always do. They never had any hiccups the entire time they've been facilitating NIL deals with the players at University of Florida. But somewhere in this deal, there was a hiccup. And apparently it was on the amount of money. And the deal was canceled on December 7th.
Mm-hmm.
That's on public record that the Gator Collective canceled the deal for some reason. If you're a facilitator, you're pretty much the middleman between the player and who's ever paying this amount, right? There was some type of hiccup, deal canceled. Clearly it was about the amount. 2 weeks later is National Signing Day or Early Signing Day. If the deal's canceled, your attorney knows it's canceled. As a father, why would I let my son sign a letter of intent assuming that we're going to get $13 million if 2 weeks ago the deal was canceled? Right? I think from a father perspective, I wouldn't let my son do that. It just wouldn't make sense. We'll go find another school or renegotiate and try to figure out the business before we sign a letter of intent, because you absolutely don't have to sign a letter of intent on that date. Correct. There was no rush. Nobody put you in the corner to do anything.
You can enroll at Florida without signing.
That's what Kyrie did. Elam never signed a letter of intent. He just enrolled at Florida. Like, that's it's kind of not a well-known thing, but that's what happened. You do not have to sign a letter of intent. It's an option. So there was no reason for him to sign it if you had questions about NIL. And the narrative that he was trapped into a deal and it was a bait and switch is just not a realistic thing. That's not how it all played out. What do you think before about that? I'm just gonna stop there.
Yeah. I was gonna say, before you get into, you know, your fan perspective, there's so many narratives out there that can be debunked. Like, this was not Jaden Rashada holding out for more money or holding Florida hostage.
Right.
I don't think the Gator Collective acted in bad faith either with the deal. I think it was a situation where, hey, we've worked with these people, not Rashada, we've worked with these people, these boosters, on multiple contracts. There's never been a reason. There's never been a hiccup. Okay, let's sign the deal. We think the numbers are crazy. The numbers are crazy. The $13.85 million, that's NFL draft pick money.
It's not your job as a facilitator to judge the amounts, right?
Right.
No, you're facilitating. It's not coming from my pocket. So right. I'm just being asked to facilitate the deal. And also the 13.85, which I've gotten from multiple people, that's not like you're not writing him a $14 million check and handing it to him. That's broken up over 4 years. It's still nuts. It's like three and a quarter a year. Mm-hmm. But if he's great, he's not going to be there for 4 years. He's going to go to the NFL and then the contract's void. If he sucks, he probably transfers and leaves, and then the contract's terminated. It's like there's probably a very rare instance where the length of that 4 year contract is actually, you know, seen played out. Also, the what hit Twitter late last week, the contract was $7 million for Jaden, and then $6 million is like an insurance policy because of John Ruiz is going to sue. That's not true. I saw that and I was like, what mental gymnastics led you to get a perfect 10 score on floor to get to those numbers?
Yeah, I think that there are some, I probably was somewhat involved in that, and in being in the nature that I was, didn't read all of it. There is some truthfulness to this. We do know that there has been some legal, ramifications thrown around, some legal threats thrown around across the board, multiple parties involved. The numbers, the large numbers that Nick are talking about, I've heard the same numbers, corroborated them with Nick from different people that Nick talks to. Those are the numbers that we've heard, and we've heard that number is crazy. The pissing contest, if you will, was also pretty crazy. There was a huge desire for a win. There was a huge desire to make an impact. There was a huge desire, especially at the time, to make it really hurt the University of Miami and can have him flip and commit over to the University of Florida. So all of those things are true. Now, Silk, I want to get the end of your perspective that you had.
I mean, as a fan, I mean, we'll probably get more answers and to get some a little bit more clarity as it all plays out. Nick has an article dropping that'll provide some clarity to everybody. But just from a just average fan, you're just confused that, like, it started off everybody pretty much as a like a witch hunt a little bit. You know, everybody blaming one person, and it was Eddie's fault. And then as more information unfold and more people started just, you know, take his side and say that, hey, man, this is not how it went down. He didn't negotiate a $13 million deal and just not pay this kid. It's just not that simple. And then, like, from the perspective I was saying before, like, I'm a fan of football. Like, outside of the Florida Gators, I love college football, and we could see it changing, bro. Like, it's changing for a crazy turn. And us, like, playing imagination NIL, like, that's not what's happening. Like, this is full-blown contract negotiations, man, and the numbers that are being said, and we've seen players transferring and hit the portal, and that's a lot of money to be playing with for no real solidified contracts there. You know, like, there's no real players association, there's no real thing to keep a booster from losing his money, or whoever's paying these kids from just losing their money after they give a kid a couple $100,000 to show up and he hits the portal. Like, it's just no, it's a different world. And I also think there's just got to be some type of legislation and some type of organization to all of this, right? I don't think it's fair for the boosters to be footing all these bills. It's easy for, like, these writers and us fans to say, yeah, just pay the kids, man. Yeah, you want your school to be good, just pay it. But that it just doesn't make good business sense. Like, NFL teams make all this money and they pay the players. They're not using their fans in the of the team to pay the players like that. You know, it's just these universities as well gonna have to pick up the slack, because there is real no real organization. There's no way. Only way you're gonna clean up the dirty action with NIL and the West going on is if the schools get involved and it's offsetting boosters having to pay.
Yeah, I think that we all agree. You know, we've agreed on a couple things. One is rich people don't get rich by frivolously spending their money. Sometimes they will try to be at the beginning of something. They'll try to be the big dog in it for the beginning to get the notoriety of it, but they don't spend money frivolously just for the sake of spending money frivolously for too long, right?
I'm gonna go buy like a Wraith or a random Maybach, not just like. Recruits.
Right, your interest in paying a 17-year-old that's never thrown a football on the collegiate level is pretty slim, right? Like,
buying that 17-year-old a Wraith.
Right, yeah. Well,
that makes no sense, man.
Like, you might be a big, you know, let's just say it was here, you know, NIL was here and Tim Tebow's here. Maybe you're like, hey, you know, this is a guy that I want to make sure we get him between his junior and senior year. You know, you're going to throw a million his way. The idea of Jaden Rashada, no offense to the kid, I wish him all the best in whatever he does. The idea of him being worth nearly $14 million to me is asinine. And Corey, I think you bring up a good point. And I don't know. We've already jumped the shark, right? I mean, you can now no longer not have college kids getting paid some sort of NIL money, or at least have that opportunity. The SEC is on the verge of hitting a $3 billion TV contract on ESPN. I think there has to be legislation. There has to be safeguards and protections put in place. And we're going to talk a little bit about that with Ben here in a few minutes, you know, but more importantly, I think Silk, you make a really good point, is at some point in time, people are just going to get tired of being asked for money, right? Whether it's, hey, we're going to build this new addition onto the stadium, or we're going to build a new football only facility.
You this money, I need some say so. Like, I want to pick the quarterback, the coach. And that's how boosters get too involved sometimes, because yo, if I'm giving you all this money, I'm Jerry Jones.
Right. You know, and at some point in time, where doesn't, you know, Joe Smith mega donor be able to say, hey, either I want these five kids that I'm paying $1 million in each a year each to play, or I'm never contributing another dollar to the university again. Right. And I think we're getting to that point, you know, probably pretty soon, but at some point in time, you've got to think, no matter how much you love your university, how much you love the sport, at some point, you're just getting pulled in so many different directions, not just by, let's just say, UF in this case, where, hey, we want you to commit to athletics, but we also want you to help with NIL. It's all of the other organizations, civic, you know, philanthropic organizations, all of these people are all trying to get a little bit of a piece before. It's just like, it's got to be very, very exhausting. And if there's no true ROI, then I just think that the money is going to really dry up in the not too distant future. And I think situations like what happened with Jaden Rashada, might even keep people away. Like folks investing in NIL.
Yeah, I think you're going to see some changes in the way that Florida handles things moving forward.
You're talking about the university or the state of Florida?
The university. Well, the state of Florida, and something I interviewed Ben with for a story, and we can ask him. There's legislation in the state of Florida that could change the way everyone can operate.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be a good thing to talk to Ben on. Good thing we're talking NIL before we bring Ben on as well.
Word.
I'm sure he's listening, he's nodding, he's agreeing to everything we're saying. Well, why don't we get him on? Multiple time guest of the show, but before we do that, let's give a shout out to our friends over at Home Field Apparel, which coincidentally also sponsored, I believe, Ben Chaser, at least with some shirts at the end of his trip there as he rooted on TCU to win the national championship. Go visit homefieldapparel.com. Use promo code StadiumAndGale. It's all one word. Get 15% off of your order. Great T-shirts, great hoodies for a variety of different schools, not just the University of Florida. Go check them out, homefieldapparel.com, promo code StadiumAndGale. And with that, we are bringing on the man, the myth, the legend.
Look at this.
Guinness World Record holder.
Look at this guy, man. It's been a wild season. What a season, Ben.
I know. I'm grateful for you guys, you know, pumping me up from the beginning and always being there by my side. Oh, pause. but also, you know, shout out Josh Johns and the team at Home Field for, you know, helping you guys and reaching out to me as well. So definitely grateful for them. Use SG. Promo code, baby.
Ben. So you, the last time we talked, you were pretty early on into your trip. You end up going to, I believe, is it 73?
77.
What do I know? 77 full games. Give us kind of the breakdown. Give us a stat breakdown, miles, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I think I had 60,200 and about 30 so miles, 10 oil changes, a new transmission. Oof. I did one fresh set of tires, about 45,000 miles. You know, I got two small little chips in Betty's front windshield. And, you know, on the sides of her, I had two panels fly off. So, she's thriving. I'm still in my office and I've been here for 12 hours. I don't know if I have a ticket on my van yet because I haven't checked it, but hopefully I've survived day one. I applied for my permit and they don't give you a physical permit anymore. So they're just like, yeah, you should be good. I was like, all right, well,
listen, the TAPS parking ferries spared no one.
I was going to say, if I know anything about
even
UF
someone parking. As prestigious as Betty White, they spare nobody.
Anything about UF parking, whatever they think you should have, you don't, and you'll be getting a ticket on your car today.
It's all good. After this, I'll go check and let you guys know.
Well, if you get one, Nick will cover it for you. Ben, so you
it's
just mentioned
for home field.
Ben, you just mentioned you are in Gainesville. First day at work. I saw you at the Swamp Restaurant the other day. Next time you're there, look out for the StadiumAndGale brick.
I got it.
I asked them all.
Yeah, I know. You replied, and then I didn't even. I don't know what happened, but yeah. Did you guys get it? There's an email.
Big time now, bro. We don't even like forget Silk's tweet, man.
did you get the email? Because it confirms like the row and stuff that it's.
Yeah, I'll pull that up while we're looking here. I got an email the other day, actually, on January the 13th. That said,
I probably got the same email. Yeah,
Section A row 7, which it looks like to be right in front of the.
Because I'm
listening to the show and you're in Gainesville, go take a picture of it and send it to your boy.
I'll find it for you because I'm like Section A, row 23, 24. So I know you guys are closer to the top, closer to the entrance.
It would seem that there's a hierarchy and StadiumAndGale is a little closer to the door.
I can see that. Right behind the Tim Tebow's and Percy Harvin's. So Ben, your new job title is Director of NIL Strategy for the University Athletic Association. You did a great article with Nick the other day on three. But for those that, for whatever reason, weren't able to see or read that article, Ben, talk to us a little bit about your new role.
Yeah, so I'm the director of NIL strategy for the University of Florida. It's a position I applied for before my road trip, and I started interviewing about halfway through on the road at different universities. My role is, you know, coming in here and working with all coaches, all sports, and partnering with them to build out, you know, strategies to maximize the earnings for all student athletes here at University of Florida. I already have emailed all the coaches, and I've got some stuff. I already have stuff scheduled to meet with them in the next few days. So I'm getting the ball rolling. That's why I'm here late. Actually, I was emailing literally every head coach we have and their team. So I'm getting off to, I wouldn't say good start, but I'm trying the best I can day one.
So Ben, yeah. What does that mean? Oh, so go ahead, Nick.
Well, we did this. We touched on this a little bit in the story that we did together, Ben. But there was a probably small minority, but very loud people on Twitter saying, "Who the hell is Ben Chase?
Yeah,
why is he qualified to do this just because he's a Twitter star for driving across the country to go in to see a bunch of games?"
Flex on them real quick, fam.
I did have a nice little quote tweet dunk when someone was like, ask how he fleeced the university to get a nice paying job. And I was like, well, I think it's a long con that Ben.
Yeah, had. No, I mean, I mean, my background is I'm a UF grad in business school. I went to GW Law, which when I enrolled was a top 20 law school. You know, I'm a barred attorney in the state of Florida. And before, you know, NIL was
I had a bunch of people who didn't understand that. They're like, he's barred? He can't practice? I'm like, no, he's
no, that licensed, means I passed the bar. Attorney, I know a little bit, you know, like he may not have passed the bar, but he knew a little bit. I actually passed the bar.
They thought you were somebody like me, just a random fan, road trip and shit, man.
I mean, that's okay. You know, I can be a fan. I can also hustle on the side and do like real stuff, you know. I passed the bar. I'm a licensed attorney in the state of Florida. And before COVID, actually, I was flown out to L.A. and interviewed to work for a YouTuber who has 9 million subscribers. So I was going to actually be like his chief of staff. So I've been in the like influencer economy for a while. And, you know, 2021 happened. And that was when, you know, athletes, college athletes specifically, could, you know, become influencers, maximize their NIL opportunities. And so in November of 2021, I joined a company that's one of the leading NIL collective launch and management programs out there, and I helped them launch 7 collectives and set the foundation for many more collectives that they've launched since. You know, Arizona football, Gonzaga basketball, who I believe is a pretty good basketball program, UNLV, some other schools. So, you know, Tennessee baseball, which, you know, last when we were, you know, helping them, they were, you know, they were ranked number 1 at the time. Yeah, so
get them out of here.
So these are, you know, this is the industry I've been in. I've, you know, and also my role with my company was to source all third party opportunities. So I've spoken with, you know, every NFT company, not that it matters, but you know, that I've, you know, companies that
it did at the time, Ben.
Yeah, exactly. But companies that offer opportunities for passive income, which is a big, you know, buzzword for international students. So I'm not saying that I know everything, but I know people around the country that are excited for me in the industry, and I'll be able to lean on them. Directors of NIL at their schools. That's a little bit, I'm not going to flex, but I would say that I've dabbled in this industry for a little bit more than, I'm not just a random guy on a road trip.
Well, you are hopping into like a hot category and like a trigger word for Gator Nation, because there's a lot of NIL stuff, a lot of questions and a lot of things going on. What's your opinion overall on the perspective of Gator, University of Florida and NIL right now?
Well, I mean, we have the biggest national spotlight on us right now, right? And when you have a big spotlight, that means you have a great opportunity. And, you know, I've already, like I said, stepped on campus, reached out to every coach. And, I've spoken with Scott like 2 or 3 times. And I believe that we're moving forward and we have a clear vision now on what we're going to do. I'm staying late. I got some stuff I'm going to do at home tonight to, you know, get the over communicate and get us on the right track. You know, it's one of those things where a lot of fans believe that NIL is a scarlet letters, right? But you know, it's where we are, and it's not going anywhere, and it's just going to get more exciting, and you're going to see big numbers. But that doesn't mean that it's all like, you know, so there's gonna be big numbers out there that aren't true too, right? But hopefully the fan base, specifically our Gator fans that listen to, you know, Sam Miguel, know that our school is moving forward and going to be one of the best in the industry.
Ben, I want to talk to you. Obviously, you know, I think UF fans are familiar with the name of Marcus Kesher Walker, who's the director of player engagement and NIL in the football program. I know that you're working with all sports, not just football. I can imagine that there's just going to, just by the sheer number of students, obviously a lot of opportunity for football players. But I also know, and I know you're just getting back into the swing of things. But, you know, I know that there is a new bill that was introduced in the Florida House, HB 99, which is going to allow universities to be involved in at least helping to make sure that deals are moving. I guess they're getting rid of the prohibition, pardon me, that would prevent a coach or a trusted advisor who works for the university or college from helping to engage them. So can you talk to us a little bit about kind of what the thought process that you've had around that and what that could potentially look like for the University of Florida? Is it still too early to tell?
Yeah. So are you're talking about the bill to remove like the cause compensation language?
Yeah.
So, I mean, Florida is, behind other states in the sense that there are states, including Ohio, Iowa, Tennessee, Louisiana, that basically just say, you know, universities are allowed to facilitate opportunities for student athletes. You know, Boise State, they've had a director of NIL forever, and they don't have a collective. They just help facilitate deals. So when I was, you know, a third party pitching to them, you should have a collective, they're like, we're good, you know. So this will give us the opportunity to you know, at least be a little more aggressive and helping go out there and reach out to, you know, different third parties and businesses and donors. But at the same time, that will bring up the issue of Title IX, right? So, like, if we are going into that space, and that's something that a lot of schools are hands-off on, you know, and in the meetings I've had on the road, Title IX is the next, that next buzzword that's going to be coming up. And that's a fair thing, you know, our student-athletes, you know, men and women at University of Florida both should, you know, be able to maximize their earnings. And if the school is leaning into one over the other, it's going to cause issues. And I believe there's already some cases being filed right now, from what I gather. You know, I follow a few national NIL attorneys that are always keeping updates and posting on LinkedIn. I basically live on the NIL LinkedIn feed. But yeah, so we'll see what, and that's something I recommend. I mean, Twitter is like, you know, Twitter's got its thing, but if you want to really see like, you know, industry leaders and see their thoughts, like I would, I'd go there as well.
And Title IX is not an NCAA thing. That's a federal law. Thing. You're not getting around that. And as like, I don't think NIL was ever going to not have aspects of pay for play. You've got boosters who have been, you know, go back to SMU, you know, guys driving around in luxury cars in the 80s. But there's so many good stories from NIL. You look at like Livy Dunn or Dune, I don't know how to say it. She has like a $3.4 million valuation. There's Paige Beckers-Bukers at UConn. There's a girl at Florida who runs cross country who is going to be signing a deal with the Gator Collective. She's got 60,000 Instagram followers. There's typical brands. Brands know TikTok. How many followers do you have? Where it's a way to say, okay, we're running a commercial on your social media, and this is the audience that we're getting. That isn't just, hey, I want this stud running back to come play for my school. There's actual brands and businesses, and that's something I asked Ben. Hey, because people always ask, why isn't Gatorade just helping the University of Florida out and paying all these players to come here? Gatorade was made here. And it's like, well, Gatorade probably, like Ben said to me, Gatorade already has that market. How many Florida fans are going to a gas station looking at a Powerade and Gatorade and being like, ah, let's grab that Powerade?
If I'm the University of Florida, do I want Gatorade to back up on, you know, or take back some of what they're spending with me as far as advertising and spending that with the players as well. That's a thing too, far as that. It's an energy out there of universities being afraid of the booster money and a lot of the advertising money starting to go to maybe to pay the athletes, and because they may have a bigger influence with the social media than you may have like at your university. So you could lose some bread there. What do you think about that, Ben?
Yeah, I mean, Gatorade does have a new president too, so I don't know you know, what his thoughts on NIL, but it's one of those things where a lot of these companies from like it's marketing money for them. Mm-hmm. Gatorade spends, you know, millions of dollars on marketing. But going back to what I said to Nick, it's like, you know, what's that dollar for marketing going to return on a school that the fans and everyone's invested in Gatorade already? You know, we have mm-hmm. Gatorade all over property, and right. You know, when you spend money on marketing dollars, it's to, you know, bring in new
customers.
Yeah. I mean, there is a halo effect to it. Like for everyone, right. What I mean by that is when, you know, when a company invests in student athletes, there's going to be, you know, not only a positive reaction from the fan base, but also it's going to be, you know, all the NIL stuff right now. For example, if Gator Collective or whoever a third party, you know, does a deal with Student Athlete Florida, it's going to be nationally retweeted by NIL Newsstand and all the aggregators mm-hmm. and Gator Collective. So there is additional benefits to not just doing a deal with, you know, someone that has 6,000 followers, because they're probably going to get retweeted by a combination of, you know, 200,000-300,000 followers, right? But yeah, when it comes to, you know, Gatorade, that's such a, you know, touchy one. And, you know, a lot of these big brands they're leaning into, you know, marketing with influencers that have 6 million followers or whatever. Like, you know, Boost Mobile signed the deal with the Cavender Twins, who are now at Miami, on day one of mm-hmm. NIL. So there are big companies that will, you know, do marketing deals. You know, wasn't Popeyes just do a deal with the kid for the meme? Like, mm-hmm.
That's fine.
Like, yeah, that's an incredible one. So,
Well, and I think a lot of this, Ben, and let me, I want to hear your take on this too. I think that there's still so many ROI questions that we're still waiting and seeing, right? And, you know, how much value, and this is a thing too. And I mean, especially in the influencer world, you hear it a lot, right? Like, just because you have a couple hundred thousand, you know, followers doesn't mean that you have a couple hundred thousand customers or a couple hundred thousand people that are going to buy from you. So I think that there's probably a lot of different strategies and different avenues that larger companies, especially that have the money to be able to research and follow through and make an actual analytical decision and not a fake, you know, Apple Health product, you know, out there that maybe are going to probably be a little bit more, you know, cautious and skeptical until there's maybe some proven interest in, hey, is it the high school quarterback that you get, you know, through a collective that is, you know, in turn going to help the program attract better talent there, you know, come in and win a national championship that way? Or is it really going to be your money is made in, you know, the volleyball player, the cross country player that has a lot of followers, or maybe it's the, you know, the individual that is, you know, speaks to a small subset of society, but, you know, they have a really big following in that world where money's going to go. But I mean, I think that's why you also don't see all professional rosters, even all littered with massive NIL deals, right? It's very few, you know, from top to bottom.
Yeah. And I've said this before, I believe the best marketing dollar investment for a company actually is in female student athletes, specifically women's basketball and women's gymnastics, for like high level teams, because they're going to, like, if you, for example, that's why UConn has Paige and Aziz Fudd. Like, they're going to be in the Final Four, if they're healthy, every year for 4 years, mm-hmm. right? Where like a men's basketball player may, you know, they're going to be one and done, so that they could sign like their marketing dollar they have now may be, you know, they only have 60,000 followers, but if they expect UConn to be in the Final Four every year, they're going to be on TV. That local, every game, they're going to be like, oh, did you know that Paige has a whatever NIL deal? So that's free marketing dollars that they're just like mentioning, you know. And then you have, they're going to be on TV so much. So that's a part of it too. And, mm-hmm. you know, there's something that someone brought up, and I think I talked about it with Nick, is like Bose headphones, you know, they time their NIL deals, right, team-wide deals for like, you know, Bose did one with Chet Holmgren and the entire Gonzaga team right before like the Elite Eight or Sweet 16. And then mm-hmm. they did one with Caleb Williams right before the, you know, Pac-12 championship, because they were like, oh, they're probably going to make the college football, you know, playoffs. So they know what they're doing when they time these deals. And like Nick said, they, you know, they dropped the new Nike gear right before, you know, the College World Series or whatever. So these marketing teams, they, you know, they're making millions of billions of dollars for a reason.
And the way they do those like headphone deals is, hey, Caleb, we're going to give you 40 pairs of headphones so that you can give them to your team. And now it's, the headline is, Caleb Williams gifts Bose headphones or Beats by Dre headphones to entire offense or entire offensive line. And now it's, hey, here's our name with a great feel good story. But they do that when you're going to be on a big stage, not when you're 6 and 7. and playing in the Las Vegas Bowl at 11 a.m.
Winning helps.
Winning certainly helps. With the bigger stage you have, the bigger the brands that can see the audience and see the platform that they can get by sponsoring an athlete. NIL deals, let's just say it. You're just sponsoring.
Right now, if I was a company that wanted to buy low on a student athlete from a follower standpoint, I would be throwing money at Ben Shelton, right? Like, there's no one that's going to have like a more heroes welcome in Gainesville the next 6 weeks than him. Especially if he wins just one more round. Like,
hey, today's price is not tomorrow's price. You might want to get on the phone before the next match.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. Like, I joked with someone today. I was going to make the three-headed dragon meme with like the one goofy looking one where they're both sick. Yeah. I was going to make like what the two like hardcore ones, Ben Shelton and Ben Sass, and me like the goofy one, Ben Chase, because there's like three Bens coming in at 2023. I don't know. I decided not to do it.
Well, Ben, I think that's probably for the best, because I believe Ben Shelton is professional now. I think he has given up his remaining college eligibility.
Is that true?
Yeah.
But
he can always come home. His dad's still here.
Yeah.
His dad is still here. Still the head coach. But Ben, we'll find you another Ben that you can put on there. I don't want this meme to go away.
We're workshopping it.
I got a question. So you applied for the job and then decided to take this road trip. What went into that decision making? And do you think the road trip helped you land the job?
I applied for the job and I waited. I already knew about the job before it was posted publicly. So I knew the conversations that were had before, it was posted publicly. And then I waited 2 weeks and I was like, if I don't hear back, cause I had already kind of known, about who they were talking to and kind of what was going on. And, I was like, I already had people recommending me for the job before it was posted publicly. And I said, if I don't hear back, I'm just going to do this road trip. So, and then I was, I got recommendations from people in the industry, former Florida Gators. And that's kind of when, they finally made a call. And so I knew about the job before it was posted. And then I kind of just I've waited long enough. Right. So I just went for the trip. Do I think that the trip helped me at all? I mean, maybe, but I also think it hindered me because they knew that hiring this guy who was just on this road trip could be a bad PR hit as well. Right. So, but I believe that between my interviews and my recommendations, that I had a strong case, and obviously they gave me opportunity.
This shit is it's a movie, bro. You went on a road trip and then you got this job at University of Florida. Like, that just is definitely a movie, man.
Well, we still need to find the girl from West Virginia in the Craigslist missed opportunities, missed connections. Yeah, so Disney.
Maybe she listens to the pod.
If there's a love story connection with the job, this does sound like a Disney movie. And maybe Ben Stiller will play Ben Chase.
Hey, there it is.
Let me play me. Like when they go to New Orleans.
Still trying to get those royalty checks. That's what you're trying to do.
Yeah, I'm trying to get USF.
Yeah. USF. Let me play me. Okay, I love that.
Now, here's something that's interesting to me. Where were you? How dirty were the clothes you were wearing during your interviews with the University of Florida, and whose Wi-Fi were you using?
So I had five interviews. I used Washington State's Wi-Fi, wearing a brand new Washington State gear for one.
I love that.
Wearing another college's shirt while interviewing for the University of Florida.
They knew what they were getting. I'll say two things. I told them when I was interviewing that I don't want them to hire me just because of my graduation or this road trip. I said, if you're going to hire me because you believe I'm the best person for the job, because I will not be happy. I will be miserable. And I will not love my school as much if you do that. And I just it's like a PR thing. And then I said to I was like, you got to give me the opportunity to do this. And so those are two things I was very, very adamant about from the beginning. Please don't hire me because of the PR. You have to believe I'm the best person for the job. I'll be upset. Yeah. And so going back to the other places I interviewed, I interviewed from inside a McDonald's for one. I interviewed from outside of McDonald's for one because they were short-staffed and I couldn't get inside. During those ones, I was probably wearing like Maxion gear. I know for one, I did wear a Gator shirt. And then I interviewed for – I had back-to-back interviews, and I did them from a – like a really nice, like, rest visitor center thing. So that was – so two there, two at McDonald's, and then one at Washington State.
Very nice. Ben, I've got to tell you, Nick, I'm not sure if you heard, is going to be going to Ireland during his – potentially going to Ireland during his honeymoon. Nick's going to be gone for about 7 weeks on his honeymoon. He's going to spend some time there in Ireland.
Seven weeks?
Give or take.
Holy smokes.
He did say that
dual
he was
citizenship on the way, man.
HR has not approved a 2 month.
HR has not received even a request to approve or deny. He did say he was going to stop by Guinness and grab a beer. And into which I chimed in and said,
no,
Guinness is not our friend right now. So Ben, give us an update of what's going on with Guinness and why are they causing issues for the Chase household?
Yeah. So, So honestly, that's been a roller coaster. So one of the things about Guinness is they take 12 weeks to reply to your initial application, unless you spend $1,000 I was like, I'm going to spend the $5 to apply. So when I applied, I actually applied and I made it a road trip record because I was told that someone had done more than 60 or 70 and then 77. And I was like, oh, cool. And like, I'm someone who, if someone tells me something, I'm going to believe them. So I was like, all right, cool. Like, whatever.
That's risky.
Yeah. And I just went with it. And then it turns out they did not do as many as I was told they were doing. So my 77 was the actual record, regardless, flying, driving, whatever. So when I made an edit to it, so originally they rejected it because they're like, we don't want to promote things on public roads. So rejected. I was like, all right, cool. Well, good news is I don't have to worry about that anymore. So I made an edit to it and I was just like 77 total. And then they go, we're going to reject it because it's not professional sports. It has to be professional sports like the NFL. So I'm kind of in a battle with them right now. Like, okay, but this is a really cool thing that, you know, 77 games in one season for college football is. So we'll see. And it takes them 2 weeks to reply. So we will see. Every 2 weeks, I'll spend the 5 minutes looking at my.
Just find out how many Irish car bombs they need me to do on my next bender trip for you to get included.
Well, in July, I'll be banging down the door.
They're like not formal complaint. They're like not affiliated with Guinness beer anymore, apparently.
Yeah, no, I know, but the joke slapped, Ben.
I know. It slapped. Sorry about that. I don't want to rain on your parade.
Yeah, I know it's rainy in Ireland, but. Don't rain on my parade, especially with Gasparilla coming just a couple days from now. Ben, man, is such a cool end to your story. It's a shame that you had to see the Georgia Bulldogs win the national championship. But
you got to bring that up, man.
It's unbelievable.
I know. Look at me. Man, what a cool story. I know from a personal perspective, you're a great person, a great individual, highly qualified for the role. And we wish you the absolute best of luck. In your new role at UF and man, go Gators. And we'll have to have you on in the not too distant future to chat a little bit more about your time.
No, thanks guys. I always appreciate you, your family and go Gators. And I'll try to find your brick for you for sure.
Hey, yeah. We'll go together, Ben. And when you see Billy walking around the hallway, let him know we're interested. When you see Billy walking around the office, you say, hey, it's time to come on, you know?
You got to come on the show. But Ben, I don't know if you got a lot of black friends, but, you know, when my friends get new jobs, I always ask for a hookup, right? We got to see the facility, baby. Stay in Miguel style, man. Come through with the production crew a little bit. We need a tour, dog.
Okay. Well, tell you what. I'll see the facility first, and I'll scope it out.
Right. Make sure the vibes.
I'm not even in the football facility.
I was gonna say, it looks like you're in Ben Hill Griffin.
I'm sure you can get us in there, dog.
Yeah.
How are we gonna be same corner at the same time? We ain't been at the same corner at the same time.
And Ben just has to find the right door to leave wedged open so that we can see him.
Well, there's some listeners to this that have walked into the facility before.
I've seen some regular people on Instagram that do not deserve access. I'm like, how did this bozo get like his? How he in the facility? I know Uncle Silt need to get in that joint.
Yeah, tell you what, I will. I'll do my best. And the fact, why? I guess it's. I mean, I am. Yeah, I'm a regular. So that I was gonna say, you've had other people on here that have had access to it. So
yeah. No, they're not my friend, man.
That's true. No, I got you guys for sure.
All right, bro.
Well, Ben's getting that thumbprint access soon.
Hey, Ben, just get home, get some rest, and we'll talk to you soon, my friend.
All right, you guys have a good night, and I will listen to the rest of this at 2x speed later.
All right, appreciate it, brother.
Be good.
Hold it down, bro.
Man, Ben Chase, what a good guy. Let's get into the business of the program, or back to the business of the program. As always, want to give a shout out to our friends over at Alumni Hall. So go visit them on Archer Road in Gainesville, or go visit them at alumnihall.com. Whether you're looking for some of the latest and greatest for Nike or any sweaters, jackets, blankets, whatever it might be. It's cold here in Tampa, so I'm sure it's cold wherever you are. Go check them out. We are going to be working on some promos with them this year and really working on trying to expand our partnership with Alumni Hall. So go check them out again on Archer Road, right off the highway there, or at alumnihall.com. Gentlemen, I'm going to try to do this in a bit of a reverse order of just some more news than anything. Do want to give a shout out to the men's basketball program for their big win over the weekend. I believe it was their first quad one win over Mississippi State.
Get some good wins, man.
Yeah, things are getting better. You know, we talked a couple weeks ago. We talked last week, pardon me, about the Gators basketball program. They did suffer a loss there, but that was a big win over Mississippi State, 61-59. Had a lead going into halftime, but then needed a stop at the end and secured that win. So it's a big win for the Gators, and they continue to look like they're going to get better, right? I mean, I think a lot of people knew that there was going to be some hiccups and things of that nature this year, but the team looks like they're starting to get their wits about them, and certainly wish them the best of luck. But that Q1, quadrant one, is huge for them. In other news, Ethan White, former offensive guard, is going to be heading to Southern California, pardon me, joining Michael Tarquin, who is out there. So best of luck to him.
I said that was happening. It was just a matter of time. Yeah.
Took a very long time.
This is boy, this is man.
Yeah. Naquan Wright is heading to USF. David Reese, I believe we talked about, but he is heading to Cal. Jordan Young, I know we mentioned, but again, he is heading to Cincinnati. I do want to give also a congratulations to former guest of the show, Rand Carthon, who is the new general manager of the Tennessee Titans.
Man, that's so dope, bro.
Awesome. Really, really cool. Rand is an incredible guy. We linked the show on the pod account on Twitter a couple days ago. That interview was probably a year and a half ago, maybe a little bit longer. A fantastic story. He was previously, pardon me, with the 49ers. Just a great, great, great guy. And certainly wish him the best. I know we've got a couple of – Patrick Simpson is a big Titans fan on the timeline. We've got a few others that are there. So I know that'll be cool to see him in Tennessee. I know that they've got some early choices to make of what they're going to do rebuilding that program. So with all of that being said, today there was some news out of Gainesville that Tulane running back Cameron Carroll is going to join the University of Florida as a sixth-year senior transfer in his career at Tulane. Ran for 1,638 yards and 19 touchdowns. Did only appear in one game last year as he did have a leg injury, but the years before that had about 1,300 yards and 15 touchdowns. So he will join Montrell Johnson and Trevor Etienne as probably the Gators' third running back. Silk Nick, any thoughts on Cameron?
Third quarterback. Might be getting.
Who knows? Could be that too.
I think so.
Well, like I said, it was going to be hard, and I don't really get – pause. I don't really get it from Cam's perspective. If you're a six-year senior, you're probably trying to go get some tape. And I said it was going to be hard for Florida to get a running back out of the transfer portal just because
you got – one to play? This is risky for him.
He's got one to play. He's a super-duper senior, six-year. So it's you got two guys who nearly ran for 1,000 yards coming back.
Good job, Billy. I don't know what the hell he sold them on. Go ahead.
You need another running back. Like if you have three and one gets a high ankle sprain out for 6 weeks, now you have two running backs. Like you had to get another running back.
Right. Listen, I am excited for him to come, but his best year was. I'm excited for him to join the University of Florida football program, right? Jeez Louise. Man. So, but his best season was 3 seasons ago. 2 seasons ago, you know, his yardage goes down, his, you know, number of touches goes down, his touchdowns go down. Obviously, this year he gets injured. But, like, I almost wonder if, like, he doesn't think that he might not make the NFL, and getting the opportunity to play at a school like Florida doesn't seem cooler than maybe, you know, a place like where he could go and be the starting, you know, running back, right? Again, I don't know anything about him. We're trying to talk to him. We're trying to get him on the show today. Just we had some scheduling conflicts with him. But I almost wonder if that doesn't, you know, come into play. You know, the opportunity to play, you know, again, in some of the biggest and brightest lights. And who knows? You just never know. Florida had a very tough position when they weren't able to get Mark Fletcher, that you need another running back in this class. There's not a lot of guys that were going. You know, we mentioned Asa Martin last week. He goes to Troy where he gets a better opportunity. But, you know, at the end of the day, there's only so many – you know, I don't know. I guess for me, maybe some people are thinking a little bit differently than just, hey, can I get to the NFL?
No, I think we're all thinking differently. I'm reading the comments a little bit.
Yeah. No, I know. I'm very childish. I got myself in a real sticky wicket here, you know?
Okay, still with the word.
yeah. Still terrible word player, man. Real quick, I like that take, Dan. He's a 6-year guy. But if you're the University of Florida, I was expecting a scrub. You know what I'm saying? Like, especially if we get a guy with no burn left. Like, if he has a 1-year guy, I was expecting a guy not with 4.4 speed, which they're saying he has verified speed of 4.4 speed, good size, good film, good production. He coming off an injury. But I'm shocked that we can get a guy with 1 year like that. But he's also, he could be having the same perspective that you're saying. I like that tape. Be able to get some type of degree from the University of Florida and getting that diploma on your wall and playing a program like this is just something you could just, you know, add to your legacy or whatever you're doing in life going forward, right? And that's a good opportunity. But he's also an injury away from being RB2. And staying healthy in football isn't an easy thing. So he's not that far away from getting a lot of carries on the big stage in the SEC. But good job by Billy and them for selling whatever they sold for a 6-year guy with this type of production to come pull up a guy that you could trust. If one of these guys are subbing out, I like what we got. If you just search his name on Twitter and look for videos, you can see a lot of 65, 55, 45, a lot of long touchdowns, man. So you can see, and I trust this staff's eye on running backs as well.
Yeah. Right now weighs in at 225 pounds, 6 feet tall.
A lot of balance, speed. I think he's an NFL guy. Like, I don't know if he gets drafted or nothing like that, but as far as like running backs, like LaMichael P. Ryan, those guys being able to make rosters, he'll play a few years in the NFL just off his. If he go to the combine and run a 4.42 and that type of stuff with his size, he'll get an opportunity as an undrafted free agent at the minimum.
Yeah, you know, so certainly excited to see. I think you could have done much worse. You know, brings, you know, some experience, brings, you know, obviously a good, you know, good, I guess probably just ability to be able to plug and play a little bit more than some of the other guys that, you know, I know Florida was looking at, you know, and Florida has, you know, one person where they can have a stopgap here. And you know, you bring in, you know, a couple guys next year, and, you know, whether that means that Montrell Johnson has gone to the NFL or you get him for a fourth year, which is probably unlikely, you know, Florida goes in with a running back room. They'll need to reshape next year, but at least they have an opportunity to put one together with, you know, what I think is a solid room with your top two, obviously being fantastic running backs, you know, for them. Not to be outdone, literally moments later, the Gators added linebacker transfer Manny Nunnery from Houston. Looked like a lot of his time at Houston was spent on special teams, where I know he had a couple of blocked kicks during his time there. He will be a weak side linebacker, played 4 years at Houston, accounted for 81 total tackles, 8 tackles for loss, 3.5 sacks, and 1 forced fumble. Had 46 tackles, 3 tackles for loss, and a sack this past year. That is, I believe, the third linebacker that the Gators have added this offseason. Nick, give us your thoughts on Manny Nunnery.
First thing I think that popped out in my head was, hey, he's blocked a couple kicks and punts.
I think it's 3-2.
Florida used to be known for that. Have lost their way when it comes to special teams. And special teams were pretty terrible, I think, for the most part, last year. So somehow
let's say they were all terrible. I think we can all agree.
Yeah. Okay.
Sometimes people say that we're homers on this show. So let's give us an opportunity when we don't have to be homers to say they were trash. Not that as individuals, but as
I'm not the homer. I'm negative Nick. So
it's your vibe.
You're part of the program, Nick. So
that's my bag.
That's your bag. Bro. You got to thrive it where you thrive at, man. We all got a role.
I think this is a linebacker that probably is more of a depth piece, but a guy that has shown that he can play special teams. And if Florida's not going to make a change at the special teams coordinator needs to get some dudes on his team to help save his job. So he's here in 2024.
Right. I would have liked more productivity. You know, I can't boast and brag about the productivity from the running back we just got and then disregard it. With the linebacker, we'll like more productivity with the transfers that was coming over from the linebacker. So that's my knock against the transfers that came over at that position. Not a lot of productivity. You have some veteran leadership coming from Mitchell, Tahada Mitchell, the Ohio State guy. But the other two guys are young guys or guys that didn't see the field a lot, but supposedly have some type of potential or they recruited in the past. They have some type of relationship with. So that's my knock against it. I do like that he played safety wide receiver in high school, and he's that type of athlete. He looks very athletic on a few highlights he has on Twitter. Don't know what this practice film or anything like that looks like for them to shoot the offer, but you need guys in that room, athletic guys that can give you something, right? Mm-hmm. There's a lot to be desired in that room last year. So we got 4 bodies and you still have another window to be able to add a few more bodies here and there. But, so far we'll see how these guys look spring. And if we have something to cry about and whine about, we know Gators where they're going to do that. And we'll see if they add somebody in the second window, but, first window of linebackers, I'm glad we got some bodies, some athletic bodies, but would have loved way more productivity.
Yeah, and I know Kenyatta Goodwin, the offensive tackle from Kentucky, was on campus as well this past weekend. I know that we are waiting on a decision from him. He's a former 5-star guy out of last year's class, so certainly the Gators would like to see him, especially after the news of Cameron Waits' injury as well. But right now, if you look at the number of folks the Gators have brought in the transfer portal, you have Caleb Banks, the defensive end from Louisville, Cameron Jackson, the defensive tackle from Memphis, Micah Maskua, for the offensive lineman from Baylor, Deuce Spurlock, linebacker from Michigan, Tarada Mitchell, the linebacker from Ohio State, Graham Mertz, quarterback at Wisconsin, Damian George from Alabama, the offensive lineman, Cameron Carroll, the running back from Tulane that we just mentioned, and then Manny Nunnery, the linebacker from Houston. What are y'all's thoughts on that? That over, obviously, there's a lot of question marks on what productivity of their past and their experience. There's some question marks just about fit and everything else. And definitely a lot of new names. I think that if you were to look back 6-8 weeks ago into the transfer portal, you know, a lot of these guys' names aren't probably ones that you would have necessarily associated with the University of Florida. For both good and bad reasons, right? Just a lot of uncertainty. What do you guys think of the names that have so far entered, and how do you think that they address kind of the talent in and talent out, you know, deficiencies that we feel like Florida has, you know, struggled with over the last few years?
Well, on an unserious note to start, I want Deuce Spurlock and Trahada Mitchell that have lockers next to each other. Just that Michigan, Ohio State rivalry, put them together in the locker room.
They shouldn't be talking about none of that.
That'd be a great question, though. Your famous question, who's got the best hands on the team? I think we might have to have a little Michigan, Ohio State throw hands, squash the beef, and let's move on. Everyone's Gators now. I think there was a big perception of the program. What the hell is Billy doing? All these guys are leaving. I think, you know, we've probably talked about this before. A lot of the guys, the names that left were guys that didn't make an impact last year and probably saw the writing on the wall that weren't going to make an impact this year. A lot of those guys were people who I thought would leave after spring football before the 2022 season. So while the number is huge, only Texas A&M had more people leave. I think really the only surprises to me were Dejon Reynolds, who I thought probably could have gotten some burn this year, got some playing time this year, and then Ethan White. Michael Tarquin clearly wasn't happy with when he returned from injury, the Austin Barber, you know, kind of taking his spot and then having a rotation. So that made sense. Donovan Mitchell was asked to play linebacker, which I think doesn't benefit Florida because he would have taken 2 years to fill into a linebacker, and he didn't want to play linebacker. So he went to a school back home in his home state, but that's going to play him at safety. So I think there is some talent loss. If you look at the safety room, I think you still need help there. You've got two really young guys that we like. Silk's the biggest cheerleader for Miguel Mitchell. That's his dog. That's his man. And then you got Kamari Wilson. So I think you have two good guys there, but there's not a lot of experience or depth. I think you'd like to get some help there at that safety spot. I don't know that Florida has replaced everything they're losing. You know, hopefully Micah. I don't know how you say the last name. I want
Maskua is how I say it.
I want to say Mazuka because it rhymes with bazooka, but that's just me.
Mazuka seems like a lot.
It seems a little bit of a stretch, but we'll get that in the pronunciation guide. Nick, Silk, what are your thoughts?
Overall take, I think we did very well in the trenches, both sides of the ball. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't mind getting a edge rusher. I wouldn't mind getting one pass rusher. But I think offensive line wise, what you brought in, if we could bring in my man Kenyatta Goodwin, I think I may start lying a little bit. I think you just bring in a good lot of possibilities. Goodwin, his thing is there's a lot of weight issues, and University of Florida, from what I'm reading, they're selling him on the nutrition program and their progress and success so far with Desmond Watson. But a guy that came in and five-star status, if you could bring him in and figure out and I'm not mad at that being an issue you got to fix, right? That's a thing. We've seen Juwan Taylor come here with that problem. Mm-hmm. He figured it out. Also Desmond Watson.
Ethan White.
Ethan White came in, figured that problem out. So I don't mind our nutritional guys having that issue and having to figure that out a little bit. Get them on campus. Let's get them in the gym a little bit. But that type of capability, a guy that size, if we get him in, I'm going to start to lie a little bit because my run game going to be vicious with my running backs, man. Two of the best, probably the best combo in the SEC just on paper right now. If you just like pro forecasting some stuff. Mm-hmm. So I feel good about the trenches. Do need a safety. I'm with Nick on that. I wouldn't mind sending a safety back there to pair. I feel real good about Kamara Wilson and a couple more young guys. But there's not a lot of depth, not a lot of senior type leadership on that I would like in that position. Receiver as well, outside receiver. I think we could still use, and we still got time and availability. Like there's still guys in the portal. They're still recruiting guys. You can't jump in the portal anymore after since last Wednesday or whatever it is. That day has passed, but the guys that are in there can still decide, and they'll of course enroll maybe summer A or however that works out. But I wouldn't mind another safety, another wide receiver. Good job getting that third running back. Mm-hmm. He has productivity proven guy that you depend on if one of your top two backs go down. That way you ain't got to spring Trae Young Webb in too early. Not mad at it. Do want another quarterback. And I do think we eventually find a quarterback in the portal. I don't know how true the Sam Hurd contact and if we're like are really trying to pursue him. I don't know what that information is like, but I do think, man, there's a lot of quarterback battles that's going to go down in spring football. Yeah. Bama's going to have one. A lot of teams around the country. Ole Miss just brought in like four guys.
those guys. Somebody from Ole Miss is leaving.
For sure.
I think it's Jackson Dart. Writing's on the wall. It's time to Dart, baby.
Here's the thing, the dirty business is about Dart. Like, Dart couldn't leave. Like, and I'm pretty sure Lane knew, like, bringing, like, risking, like, recruiting these guys and bringing them in, that Dart already uses 1 year pass, right? So he can't just jump in the portal all willy-nilly because I'm recruiting and bringing three guys in to compete with him. So Lane is playing the game a little bit because he knew what Jackson Dart was up against.
Yeah, I mean, that's just crazy. They got a lot of talent there in Oxford at that quarterback position.
It's going to be guys looking for spots, man. And the University of Florida is going to have an opportunity to go play and play some big games on the big stage. Players are going to be interested. Somebody's going to lose quarterback battles this spring, and we'll get another influx and another pool of quarterbacks to choose from. Just vibe. I would like it to be a younger guy, a guy like Sam Hurd that has like 4 or 5 years to play. Since we didn't get Rashad out of this class, I would like somebody to come in and fill that spot. And then Lagway come in and do his thing. But we do need a guy, I think, with like 4 years eligibility in the transfer portal.
All right. No, I totally agree. Let's see. Sorry, just going through any final things that we might need here. No, I 100% agree with you guys. I think that the Gators did well. It'll be interesting to see how some of these guys, you know, do develop. There's a lot of, in my opinion, Terada Mitchell, you know, he's had a lot of opportunities at Ohio State. Has never amounted to probably what his, you know, star rating was outside of high school. But that doesn't mean that there's not an opportunity for him here. There's going to be time to play and an opportunity to play. Deuce Spurlock, you know, a guy that obviously Jim Harbaugh and that defensive staff, which was very, very strong at the time, saw something in him. You know, it would be interesting to see what comes of him and if he could put it all together. You know, if Micah Mazuka and Damian George can put it together on the offensive line, if you could get, you know, Goodwin, you know, got, or he'd be a great add to have, right? But all of a sudden you start to say, hey, like maybe the offensive line is not going to be as good, because I would never say that replacing a second team all SEC and an NCAA player is going to be better. But I do think that there's some solid pieces in there, right? Linebacker, you went and you got some bodies. Now it's, you get Ricky Pearsall back, which is great. Florida needs a quarterback. Florida probably needs some help at tight end. Florida probably needs an edge rusher. And then Florida definitely needs, you know, probably some help at safety. And we'll see in a few months what that looks like. But I give them give a solid B. I'm going to give a solid B right now.
Yeah, no, I'm not mad. We fill the needs and we're getting guys. I like the programs we're getting them from too. Like all that matters. So I do like the additions. I don't want to be on my homer vibe, but I do like the ceiling of what these linebackers could be that they brought on camera, what the linebacker room could be. I do like Spurlock and what he presents on paper. And the few clips I've seen and just what I've heard as far as his work ethics and how explosive he is in the gym. So I'm here just hearing some good things. But I don't know what point I was about to make. I went down a rabbit hole. What was I talking about?
We were just talking about the strength of the class overall.
Oh,
sprinkled. I gave them a B, and then you jumped in.
Yeah, it's still to be determined. That was my take. I think it's still TBD. I do, like I said, a quarterback is a necessity. I don't think it's just a want. I think at this point, the way the Rashada thing all played out, we're put into a corner. That's what I was going to ask you guys. This is what I was going to ask. What do you guys? I think there's been some good opinions out there about and some takes about, you know, how Graham Mertz was developed out there and, you know, a lot of situational football he was put in. None of the things I know people writing different articles. I think On3 has written some articles, mm-hmm. and there's just some podcasters out there with some good takes. What's your guys' opinion? Do you think he could be serviceable with a run game that we got? If we protect him, we're going to be able to run the ball. I think our O-line could possibly be better than last year's overall group. Torrence just made us like super Superman and shit. Like whenever he was out, things hit the fan. So I think overall, we could be a better as an overall group. You know what I'm saying? Like that's my overall take on offense. Listen, like, it could be an upgrade.
This is where my thoughts on Graham Mertz. I have not watched, and I will be the first one to say I have not watched enough Wisconsin football over the years to be able to give you a completely sound Graham Mertz take yet. I understand if you look at a statistical review of him, obviously there's some things that are left to be desired. I will say, obviously, you know, Wisconsin fired their coach in the middle of the year. Probably not, you know, the same Paul Christ over the last few years as he was the years before that. I think the recruiting was down a little bit. I think that there's a lot of things that probably played into it. I don't think that Graham Mertz is completely at fault. I don't think that he's at no fault of it. But I do think that he's a guy that is talented. He's shown that he can, you know, make big plays and have great games. You know, he was up for a couple of awards of the week. One, I think a big, you know, 10 player of the week award, right? He's got some talent. It's a matter of putting it together. I do think, you know, from an offensive line perspective, it's probably a bit of a wash. You know, Wisconsin usually recruits that, you know, pretty well, but I think from a running back perspective, and I think from a receiver perspective, I think that he's going to probably enter a place where there's a little bit more talent. And could he put it together? I'm hope so. And I root for him. But you know, I still think that Florida needs to fix the tight end position to allow him an opportunity to, you know, have that as a weapon. But, you know, I think that there's, you know, from everything that I've gathered, you know, Graham Mertz maybe just changing, you know, scenery, changing a, you know, coaching staff, giving an offseason to work. You know, I think that he could be serviceable. Do I think he's going to win the Heisman Trophy? No, I don't. But do I think he's as bad as the only gif of Graham Mertz that out there? And that's a picture of him, you know, with his thumbs to his back saying Graham Mertz isn't good or is not good. So that's my take on Graham until I spend some of this time in the offseason watching some highlight film from him.
I can't remember who made the edit. I laughed my ass off, though. It was like Graham Mertz highlight tapes, and it was like 3 straight minutes of handoffs.
Yeah, it sounds like an orange and blue gator thing to do, but
that was funny. He's got a big arm. I think he's gotten in trouble from going back and watching games, and I'm not watching highlights. I'm trying to watch full games. Thank God to the good people who rip the TV streams from the Big Ten Network and take out all the commercials and put up a 3-hour game in 15 minutes on YouTube. Your work is appreciated. He gets into a lot of trouble. It seems he has a big arm and he tries to fit passes into windows that maybe when you're in high school are there, but they're not there in the Big Ten. They certainly won't be there in the SEC. I think we saw a lot of that from Anthony Richardson. I think my original take was a less athletic Anthony Richardson. That might not be fair to Graham Mertz. The coaches I've talked to and one of the writers from The Athletic who's covered Graham Mertz since 2017, because Mertz was the highest ranked quarterback ever to commit to Wisconsin at the time, said that, you know, all the tropes, Dan, first in, last out, hardest good. Worker.
The lunch pail guy.
Lunch pail guy.
Coach's
film rat.
Son, you know, coach Jim Rat. All film rat, Jim Rat.
All the tropes.
May actually be a rat. Who knows?
I'm not gonna say he sucks or throw him out. I also don't think that it's his job. I think you're gonna have to win that job from Jack Miller. And we'll see who wins out from the law firm of Mertz and Miller. In
this That's going to be a hell of a firework battle to watch.
There. You know what?
I'm thrilled. I bet you've never wished you had the ability to go to more spring practice than you do this offseason.
Open them all up, Billy.
Open them up, Billy.
The first 7-second clip that gets tweeted out of Graham Mertz throwing or Jack
Miller when you see a Graham Mertz to Ricky Pearsall 40-yard pass, Silk's lies are going to be through the roof.
No. The lies are going to be like those little slants that are hitting stride. Just a little slant hitting stride.
I just need a nice little 6-yard out route. You know, need to hit those with some consistency.
Sex appeal, a 6-yard out. Ooh, baby.
I think a lot of, I was getting a lot of, and I've been just doing like just something like, you know, my Googles and stuff. Like the last transfer, a guy that had a lot of talent with Wisconsin as well, like Jack Cone kid that left and went to Notre Dame. I think he lost his job because of injury to Graham Mertz, if I'm not mistaken. But a guy that got to Notre Dame and thrived after leaving that system. Guy that had potential and he did very well. So some people find some type of glimmer of hope in that perspective. And you seen Hendon Hooker and what he could do. And I've just doubted quarterbacks in the past. So I just let things play out a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't have to jump into any conclusions. I think there's a reason he was rated with all those stars and where he was ranked at coming out of high school. Same thing with the quarterback Jay Garcia leaving Miami. I think those guys going to have an opportunity to kind of fix their name. We've seen that happen with Joe Milton as well, leaving Michigan, finally getting an opportunity with Hendon Hooker, who was the same guy that revived his career. We're just seeing these older guys just find a breath of fresh air and new tutelage, give a spark. So I do like that, how old he is and, you know, in his previous ranking, because there's a trend there. But I'm just going to let it play out. We don't have to jump to any takes about him and speaking absolutes. But I do think we need a quarterback in the portal to come in, a guy that's already got some experience to compete with him. Because this team is starting to put together a nice little roster. I'm not mad at the defect, what left and what they added. You're muted, Dan.
Yikes. Sorry about that. No, absolutely. We know that Florida needs to continue to grow in high school recruiting as well. It does seem that Florida is obviously doing well in the class of 2024. I do expect a lot more action over the next few weeks. But again, we will be in a wait and see approach. But I think all of our thoughts on these nine are you filled some gaps, you filled some holes, and you did a pretty good job. You got some consistency. You've got some veteran. A lot of older guys in this group as well, not just a lot of your first, second, and third year transfers. You're getting a couple fourth, fifth, and sixth year guys into the program as well. Let's see. Any final thoughts do want to give Ben Shelton? We mentioned his name a little bit earlier, but Ben Shelton is into the quarterfinals of the Australian Open. So congratulations to him. That is a huge accomplishment for the former Florida Gator tennis player. I think he is one of the first American men he's one of only three or four American men to make a quarterfinal of a major event in their first go around at a major event. So congratulations to Ben Shelton. Certainly we will be rooting you on. Gentlemen, any final thoughts on the Gators program right now before we take it into Song of the Week?
Big basketball week. You get a home game Wednesday against, I think, South Carolina, but then a trip out to the Little Apple and Keontae Johnson. So has been awesome to watch Keontae play this year for them. He's been the best player for Kansas State, and that'll be, I'm sure, an emotional game for him and, you know, Colin Castleton and some of the other guys that were still on the roster and were his teammates.
Yeah, and congratulations to the women's volleyball gymnastics program, pardon me, that beat the University of Alabama on Friday, 197.325 to 196.45.
And a little teaser might have – a member of the gymnastics team on Stadium and Gale.
Yep.
Soon.
Yep.
For the vibe. You know how we do. I've been raving about, you know, 5-6-1. I'm going to hype it up. You know what time it is. Chauncey Boyens got offers from Alabama in Georgia. We're going to have to fend them off this entire cycle. But he's that real deal. I keep telling everybody, don't get caught up in all. I know there's a lot of names out there in the running back room, but we got a killer at running back right now. And we got to hold on to this monster. But those are some big offers that went out for him this week.
Congratulations to Chauncey. Gentlemen, is it my turn for Song of the Week? I don't remember.
It's your vibe's birthday, boy.
All right. Yeah, it was my birthday last week. Thanks, everybody, for helping me raise money for the V Foundation for Cancer Research. We do it every year. With this year's total, I think we eclipsed $13,000, which is super, super cool. Let's see. Oh, yeah, I'm going to see Shane Smith and the Saints with our boy Paul Sammons on Thursday.
Paul, so, what do you do,
baby?
Paul, baby.
That'll be a day. That'll be an evening.
It was still always the Jags, by the way. Just so everybody know that. We took a L.
It was always the Jags.
No shout out
to the Chiefs, yes.
Another shout out to Kadarius Toney. He's still in the playoffs. Congrats, man. Do your thing, but not a shout out. But it's still the Jags. I'm excited about the future, man. The future's bright in Duval.
What, for the football program or for the city?
Yeah, no, I don't really hang out there.
Okay.
I just cheer.
Yeah. All right, perfect. Let's see. Paul and I are going to go to see Shane Smith. It's the first time that we've ever seen them headline, so super excited about that. They have a song called The Coast, which is a really good song. Boys, same corner, same time next week with potentially a legendary guest.
Already.
I love it. Well, thanks, everybody, for joining on YouTube. Like and subscribe. Hit that thumbs up button before you head out. Thanks to our sponsors, Alumni Hall, Home Field Apparel, and Alan Horn. And we'll see you guys at the same corner and same time
Flex next on week. Silk.
South where the highland fades, there's a poor man working in a rice-filled maze, and a barefoot boy on a jetty plank as he walks into the goal. In a lighthouse shining out to the sea, to the shrimpers staring in disbelief, and the mermaid saying he's gotta believe that a light will take him home. And by the Mississippi River there's a southbound train, and it's headed for the goal. Gonna buy my ticket and hold it tight till I know I'm getting close. See me running down the alleyway looking for the jetty, searching for my soul. You know, oh, I'm in here for the coast. For the coast. Too many rich folks trying to change their mind. I'm tired of the hustle, get out on the bustle every time I see the light. Tell me, baby, can you feel my soul? I'm rolling with the rhythm on cruise control. I got three chords and I speak the truth to Willie Nelson, that's a country song. By the Mississippi River there's a southbound train, and it's headed for the goal. Gonna buy my ticket and hold it tight till I know I'm getting close. See me running down the alleyway looking for the jetty, searching for my soul. You know, oh. By the Mississippi River, there's a southbound train and it's heading for the Gulf. Gonna buy my ticket and hold it tight till I know I'm getting close. You see me running down the alleyway, looking for the jetties, searching for my soul. You know, oh, I'm headed for the coast, for the
Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.